just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you alone.
Exactly. And I don't think that Arthur would have divorced Mary, you know, just because he did have two kids, obviously, Jane and Bobby, with Mary. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would have just left Mary. I do think he genuinely loved Marilyn. And then on July 13th, Marilyn and Miller go to, you know, London, because she's going to film The Prince and the Showgirl. The Prince and the Showgirl, I guess we don't have to go, you know, like too deep into it, but The Prince and the Showgirl, just filming's a disaster. Marilyn and Laurence Olivier bump heads nonstop. They can't meet eye to eye.
They're oil and water, 100%.
They are. He doesn't understand why she needs all this support. He just thinks, you know, she can just turn something on and act. She doesn't understand how he can just turn on something and act. They clash nonstop.
And she shows up late, doesn't hold nine yards. And then I read something where she felt she was betrayed by Arthur Miller, because she thought she was embarrassing herself, and that he felt embarrassed for her. And did you ever hear that one?
Yeah, he supposedly wrote something in his diary, and she was going through his, you know, desk space looking for something, and mm-hmm. she found his diary, and it was open to that page, and he basically said, let me just say that this is all, you know, second, third hand information. Mm-hmm. Most of what we know comes from Susan Strasberg, which came from Paula, which came from Marilyn. So, I mean, it's going down the grapevine. Mm-hmm. But supposedly he says she's an embarrassment, and he thinks that she's a bitch. I mean, we don't know what happened with that. We don't know what was written. You know, the Strasbergs famously did not get along with Arthur at all. He couldn't stand them either. Yeah, a lot of people would call her Black Bart on set. You know, and I don't think that the Strasbergs were horrible people, but I don't think that they were necessarily the right people either. And I think, you know, Miller saw through some of their stuff. And, you know, that's why there was some animosity there. I also think, you know, Arthur gets a lot of backlash for a diary that no one has ever seen. Let me just point that out. But, you know, the other thing I notice a lot, you know, with Arthur stuff, too, is that people tend to forget is that Arthur would have simply heard Marilyn's side of the story on everything. And, you know, the studio was against her and, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. So seeing her in action, I'm sure, was pretty jarring for him.
To see how late she was, how unprofessional she was. And
right. And he's used to working with stage actors. They have to be on time.
Discipline.
If you're not on time, you're not
Discipline.
Going out.
Yes.
You know, and so it's a very different world than what he was used to.
Right.
So I'm not going to say he's this horrible, evil, bad guy.
I don't think he was. I personally kind of like him. I believe he truly loved Marilyn and wanted only her best interests.
I 100% agree with you. And I just, you know, people want to pay him out to be the villain. I don't think he was the villain. I think that her behavior was very shocking to him. And I think if anyone had to work with her, they too would be shocked by her behavior and they would get annoyed as well. So
it's only human. It's like, my God, 6 hours late, 3 hours late, or not showing up at all. You know, that's just so unprofessional. And I know I'd go crazy. I'd be like, rah. You know, you just want to get it over with and you're drained and, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anyone did it.
Yeah, it's just he wasn't used to it. So whatever he wrote, though, it obviously wasn't irreversible in their marriage. They, you know, had like another 4 years. So, but people like to make a big deal out of that for some reason. Like I said, filming's pretty much a disaster. By the end of it, Marilyn and Olivier really aren't speaking unless they have to. you know, it's just, it's not a positive experience. But during this time, Marilyn obviously meets the Queen. You know, they're going around to a bunch of different theater productions. It's a very cultural trip for them, but filming is just a disaster. And then on November 21st, Marilyn and Arthur arrive back in New York, and they really, you know, focus on each other. There's not a whole lot. She does go to the premiere of Baby Doll, where she, you know, is an usherette for them and everything. Really? But you know, she really doesn't do a whole lot. You know, she really focuses on her marriage with Arthur. 1957, I'm going to kind of, I guess, you know, skip over a little bit because there's not really a whole lot that she does. There's only a few events that are worth really talking about. Milton and Marilyn fall out. On, you know, and they really fall out in February, or March. They really fall out around Milton's birthday, actually. And, you know, Marilyn tells the press that Milton has been mishandling, you know, Marilyn Monroe Productions, basically that he's a horrible person. Milton, you know, sits there and he sends her a snarky letter asking for things like a wooden salad bowl back. you know, they really, like, they go back and forth with each other.
Meowch.
You know?
Yeah.
But Marilyn really drags him in the press, and a bunch of people blame Arthur for this. I just want to say, Marilyn's an adult. She can make her own decisions. You know, she obviously wasn't happy with Milton. If she was, she would have stuck by Milton.
Yeah, no, I don't believe Arthur in any way controlled her at all, nor did any man. You know, Marilyn was her own person, and she was, yes, she was fragile in the sense of, you know, I do believe genetically mental illness and that kind of mental illness. The grandma had it, the mom had it. And it was pretty likely that Marilyn was going to get it if she wasn't starting to. And I don't know. And she was also drinking more. And I read a lot of that stuff. She was drinking more and doing whatever. And I don't think that Arthur... See, I used to think that he was more of a villain until I read much more about Marilyn and this relationship for the show. And I don't see that at all. I believe he truly, truly loved her.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that he had his disagreements with the Greens. Of course, Amy Green is still alive, and she's very honest about how much she dislikes Arthur. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think Marilyn wanted Milton around. She had Arthur. She didn't want Milton around, and she, you know, instated a bunch of Arthur's, you know, relatives or business associates in Marilyn Monroe Productions. But I think she thought that they had their own interests, you know. In her statement, she says that she didn't form Marilyn Monroe Productions, you know, to line Milton's pockets, basically. And I think that's how she took to looking at it, even mm-hmm. if she didn't, you know, necessarily feel that way before. But I, you know, she'd married to Arthur for almost a year at this point. It's pretty asinine to claim that he's, you know, like the sole cause of Milton getting ousted from Marilyn Monroe Productions.
Yeah, Mr. Mean Jeans. I don't think he was, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, Arthur's not perfect. I don't think that obviously.
I don't either, but I don't think he's the devil incarnate. I believe that, you know, both of them, no, they had, it ain't black and white, it's gray. And they both had their issues, and they both had to deal with those issues. And obviously they couldn't come together with those issues, even though they were married 4.5 years.
Exactly. And, you know, that's just what's happening with them. So what can you do, I guess? Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's out. And then, you know, Marilyn this summer, she's not working. She's, you know, she's still getting her $100,000 from Fox. she doesn't really have to work. You know, Fox, of course, wants her to make a movie, but she's like, hey, I'm focusing on my life. They don't want to lose, you know, risk losing Marilyn. So there's like, you know, after some negotiations, they just agree, hey, you know, we'll give you $100,000 for the year. So, you know, she's sitting there. Of course, she wants to start a family. Unfortunately, on August 1st, 1957, Marilyn makes a 106-mile drive in an ambulance because she was gardening and she all of a sudden had horrific, you know, pains in her lower, you know, uterine area. Yeah. And she learns that she has an ectopic pregnancy. And of course, that pregnancy has to be terminated because that's what you have to do with ectopic pregnancies. Right. And she's in the hospital for 9 days. She's not released August 10th. Marilyn just, you know, she's at home all the time. She's eating what she wants to eat. She just, you know, gained a little bit of weight. It really has nothing to do, you know, like with her pregnancy stuff. I actually used to be friends with somebody who had, you know, held the swimsuit, knew the collector who owns the swimsuit. And, you know, she was a size 6 and she said there's no way she could fit in the swimsuit. She said it looks like it was about a modern day 4, which would, you know, line up with Marilyn's other stuff. So bigger for Marilyn, but not big at all. I mean, this is a woman, you know, who when you see her like in 1953 in Gentlemen Prefer Blonde, she has a, you know, 24-inch waist. She's a very tiny, tiny woman.
She really is.
You know, she's goes up about 20 pounds into, you know, a size 4 from, you know, bordering on a 00. I mean, yes, she does look heavier because she is heavier, but she's not, you know, big or plus size or anything from that standpoint. In fact, we know at her absolute heaviest, which would be, you know, around 59-ish, she had a 28-inch waist.
When I mean, she did the one with Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, she looked a little – that to me was her heaviest period. Was that it?
Yeah, that's like late 58, yeah. 58 like to 60, like some like it hot to the misfits. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, her quote unquote heavy period.
And she ain't heavy.
No, she's about a modern day 6 in the waist. She's not big at all. But there's always going to be people, you know,
calling your fat.
Want to make her out to do something she's not, but she's not.
No.
But, you know, obviously she's absolutely devastated by the loss of her child. She really doesn't go out after she has her baby. She basically just spends almost all of her time at home.
In New York or in California?
In New York. Well, really Connecticut. But she loses the baby in New York, but she really just spends almost all of her time at her house in Connecticut. She does go to Fox occasionally. She does meet up with Fox a little bit. But the only really public appearance I know of after she, you know, leaves the hospital is she goes to support her sister-in-law, Joan Copeland, who is still very much alive. Joan is primarily focusing on stage work, though, with this time. And so she's in a play called Conversation Piece, and that's the last event, and that's in November. And that's the first and last event I know of after Marilyn loses her baby that she attends. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sure someone can find something else she's attended, but that's the only one I know of. Mm-hmm. 1958, Marilyn is obviously still, you know, pretty depressed. I can't say I blame her, but she does pick herself up together. And she, you know, in March of that year, she goes and she starts discussing making Some Like It Hot. Now, of course, Some Like It Hot, she originally supposedly didn't really want to make it, but she, you know, she's going to make it, obviously. And I don't think it's because she needs money even, because Arthur's, you know, making a pretty decent amount at this time, you know, too. Right. And she's, you know, been paid her salary and everything like that. I think she genuinely did want to make it. It's just she didn't care for how dumb the character Sugar Cane was.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she did want to make it. She actually wanted, instead of Jack Lemmon, she actually had originally wanted Frank Sinatra in that role as Daphne. And of course, it went to Jack Lemmon. And I can't imagine Frank Sinatra in that part.
No, and I don't think he would have taken that part. And I think Jack Lemmon was perfection in that part.
He was. She also could not stand Tony Curtis.
Could you blame her?
No. She though did not like Tony Curtis. And she was like, hey, you know, I can't really stand this dude. But, you know, we know obviously how the movie was cast. You know, and Marilyn does go out a little bit more. She's, you know, she goes to the premiere of Gigi. She's still going to stage plays during this time. And then in August, she goes and she flies out to Los Angeles to begin filming Some Like It Hot. Of course, Some Like It Hot would be Marilyn's most successful movie ever. And in September, she finds out that she's pregnant. You know, there's some arguments about how long this, how far along this pregnancy, you know, was. Some put it at about 2 or 3 months, but we know that she miscarried on December 16th, 1958. And we know that she found out she was pregnant in November of 1958. She probably was about 4 months along.
How sad. She wanted children so badly.
She did. This one is, of course, extremely devastating for her. She had, you know, basically just gotten over, you know, into the second trimester and she lost the baby. I don't really have anything, I guess, really to say about that.
But you know, didn't she have endometriosis as well?
She did have endometriosis, which would make it very hard for her to conceive. And if she did conceive, endometriosis makes it very hard for a woman to complete their pregnancy.
Yes, and it's very hard. Your periods are so painful and awful. Because I know someone who had it, and because she had it, she had to have a hysterectomy. Because it was so bad. I read, and I know so many of these actresses because the studios take care of them, that Marilyn, I think this is a high note, had 13 abortions. I don't believe that.
That comes from Amy Green. There's nothing to support that. I'm not going to say Amy is a liar because Amy is still very much alive. What I am going to say is that Amy, Milton, and Marilyn did not end on the best terms. And we also know that Marilyn would sometimes lie in order to gain sympathy for things. Take that how you will.
Yeah, I just don't believe it's true. That's just my feeling.
I don't either. Whether or not Amy was actually told that is up for debate. You know, but there's no way. When they did her autopsy, they said that her, you know, uterus showed no signs of scarring.
Really?
If you're getting 13 abortions, you know that you're going to have, you know.
One would think, or, you know, because
they're all backstreet abortions.
You would be surprised at how many women in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s got abortions, and they were the studio handled it, and they were top docs. They weren't backstreet.
Right, but her abortions are supposed to be in like the 40s and early 50s
prior to her being
right, so they're supposed to be like pretty early in her life. There's also something about a secret child. There's nothing to support any of this. We'll just leave it at that. She did get pregnant with Arthur relatively quickly, but it's also probably that they just lucked out with, you know, her becoming pregnant, you know, twice in 2 years since they were married. But of course, she would never have children, you know, and like I said, the fact that there was absolutely no scarring and she was supposedly getting him from dirty places, which is another part of the story. it's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Also, with Marilyn and the endometriosis and all that other stuff that was going on, I want to go. So she had the miscarriage doing Some Like It Hot.
She had the miscarriage after Some Like It Hot had filming. But she was back in New York.
But they were pretty vicious. Billy Wilder was pretty vicious about her. Jack Lemmon was a gentleman. He really didn't go into it. And then Tony Curtis said kissing her was like kissing Hitler. And then he said he had an affair with her. And years later in his biography, he said he never said that. But we know he did. And even Marilyn said, one of my co-stars even said I kissing me was like kissing Hitler. So, I mean, he was like a liar, liar, pants on fire. Sorry, Tony Curtis fans. But he was, because you can't change history when it's documented in paper or verbally or something like that. And then he took it back and he said, well, I was just, you know, being dramatic or whatever. Because he was, you know. But that's a pretty nasty thing to say. Come on.
Yeah, no, Tony Curtis isn't a very, very nice dude. Yeah. Filming's horrible on this movie. Even though Marilyn's pregnant, she's still taking quite a few pills.
And drinking.
Anthony Summers interviewed her gynecologist, who said, you know, that she blamed herself for losing the baby, because she had been advised that she would need to cut down on her pill intake, mm-hmm. and she didn't.
And her work as well. And her work as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way of being able to know if it really was her pill use or the endometriosis.
More so the endometriosis, because that doesn't generally have a happy ending for most people as far as childbirth.
Right, exactly. So she just doesn't have a 1958 isn't a positive year. She, you know, her filming's great, but of course her personal life is, you know, horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, she supposedly has a suicide attempt around this time. She's, you know, going in all black. She's really not seen again for several months until February, when she has to go watch a pre-screening of Some Like It Hot. There are pictures of her there. She is laughing. You know, it's nice to see her happy after everything that happened. But 1959 is another really uneventful year for her. I do want to note that the pregnancy in 58, that was her last pregnancy. There's, you know, rumors about other pregnancies. That's her last pregnancy. You know, there's nothing else that happens, but some skeevy people have come out claiming something else. But you know, 1959 is a pretty uneventful year. She really just spends the year, you know, spending time with Arthur and negotiating for both the Misfits and Let's Make Love. Let's Make Love would be the first film that she had done for Fox in 3 years. So, you know, Fox wants the person that they're paying money to come back to film for them. And I can't really say that I blame them.
No, I don't either.
You know, so they're, you know, she's sitting there and she's, you know, negotiating. She finally agrees to do that. You know, and then in November of 1959, Let's Make Love starts shooting. And then shooting ends pretty quickly because there's a writer's strike going on.
But we should say who her co-star was Yves Montand. And that was his first film in the United States. He had done films in other places, but this was his first film in the United States. And Marilyn,
it was. It's his first English language film. He actually did not know how to speak English. And he's trying to learn English while learning his lines. He realizes it's not going to work, so he has to learn his lines phonetically. Yves was obviously also a very famous singer in Europe. Kind of like their version of Frank Sinatra, I guess you could say. You know, the French version of Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. even though he was Italian. But he's very, you know, the movie's very stifled. I guess you could say.
I don't like the movie at all. I really don't like this movie.
Most people don't. Yeah. It's just not a very good movie. Sometimes Eve's, you know, how he's delivering his lines, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but then you learn, oh, he had to learn them phonetically, so of course it's not going to come out exactly right. You know, his emotion or body language just doesn't always match up, and you could kind of see why, because he doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah, that would hurt.
You know, yeah. But, you know, so they start filming, but of course a writer's strike happens. Arthur starts doing rewrites. Supposedly Marilyn is extremely upset by this. She feels like he sold out because he's going against his fellow writers. I don't know. It's a very complicated situation, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Originally Gregory Peck was going to star with her in the movie, but he pulled out because, you know, Marilyn's part was expanded. I don't think you really see a whole lot of Marilyn, so I don't know how it was expanded, but I have seen Gregory Peck's official, you know, statement to the press that her part was made bigger. Hmm. What I'm assuming is that maybe the musical numbers were added or lengthened and Gregory Peck didn't care for it. So that's how Eve's got the part.
I couldn't imagine, and I love Gregory Peck. I can't imagine him in that role.
Yeah, no, it's just not a good thing. I guess that's
it's not a good film. Bottom line. It's not, I don't know.
It's just not a great movie, I guess we mm-hmm. could say. Marilyn obviously does begin an affair with Eve's during filming. This is just a really depressing situation. Arthur doesn't know. He writes George Cukor and he says, oh, you know, you've made Marilyn so happy. You know, you're so patient with her. You're such a great person. And Marilyn's sleeping with Eves while this is going on.
And there is his wife who is, you know, he's had numerous affairs with Simone Signoret. She's there as well. And she got on well with Marilyn. But I see them at these, I have pictures of them at press conference and Eve and Marilyn are next to each other. And then you see the spouses sort of cuckolded by them. And it's very sad to see. But Marilyn got really into Eve's.
She did. She supposedly thought that he was going to leave his wife for her, and he laughs that off to the press. I mean, mm-hmm. he speaks to Luella Parsons about it, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, you know, Marilyn's a fun girl, but I love my wife. You know, and
some love.
Marilyn's, you know, very devastated by this, but, you know, her marriage with Arthur limps on, you know, and I really think people have to give Arthur credit for this.
I do too.
You know, it's just, I really can't imagine dealing with this, but
me either.
And he wants to make it work.
Yeah. And there is no indication in anything that I read that Arthur cheated on Marilyn.
There's not. And there are rumors that cheated on the Misfit set, but we'll go into that.
Yes,
obviously.
Of course.
So filming ends on Let's Make Love. It ends in June of 1960, June 18th. There's been almost a month delay on the picture. Of course, Eves and Marilyn are basically done by this point, although she does try to make another pass with him. I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation.
Very.
Marilyn goes back to New York, and then less than a month later, she flies out to Reno because she's going to start filming The Misfits. Of course, this is directed by John Huston. Her co-stars are Clark Gable, Montgomery Clift,
Thelma Ritter.
Yeah, Thelma Ritter. It's an all-star cast in this movie.
And it's based on a short story by Arthur Miller, who expanded it, and he was on the set every day there as well.
Yeah, and he's doing rewrites while they're doing it. I don't know. It's insane. I feel bad. There's really nothing to say, though, besides filming on these movies is just a complete three-ring circus, and Marilyn's in the middle ring. You know, they're very stressful for everybody. She's commonly late. You know,
it's hot as hell there.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't positive experiences.
No.
Supposedly, you know, Clark loses about 30 pounds. You know, he goes on a crash diet. He's a 2-pack-a-day smoker. He insists on doing all of his own stunts.
How old? He was like 59, right?
Yep. He was 59. Does all of his own stunts. Of course, he's going to die like 3 days after filming completes
that
of a heart
so
attack.
That was so sad. Oh, my God. And he said, she's going to kill me, this girl. That's so funny on the set. And he does die 3 days after, and I read that Marilyn did feel guilty. I read also that Clark's wife said she was not the direct cause of his death, but she was a factor in his death. That's what Clark's wife said.
Yeah, Kay did invite – Kay was, you know, pregnant at this point with Clark Gable's only legitimate child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's obviously devastated, but Marilyn was invited to the baby's christening. She said she had no hard feelings against Marilyn. But, you know, it wasn't a good time for Clark Gable. Of course, Montgomery Clift's, you know, issues are intensifying during this.
Drugs,
Marilyn's
booze,
issues yeah. are intensifying during
drugs,
this.
Drugs, booze.
You yeah. know, Marilyn's marriage with Arthur is ending during this time. Inge Marath is the first Magnum photographer who comes out. Of course, she would end up marrying Arthur. There are rumors that he started his affair with her. That's extremely unlikely. Like I said, she's the first photographer out there. Magnum had an agreement that they would be the only photography company who would be allowed to come out and, you know, take pictures behind the scenes and whatever they mm-hmm. wanted to do. And Marath is only out there. She's the first photographer to come out there. She's out there for 2 weeks. The entire time she's out there, Arthur and Miller are still sharing a bedroom.
Yeah. So there was no affair there. But didn't they have a long lasting marriage, these two, until death?
They did. They were married until her death. You know, they did have a long marriage. She's actually slightly older than Arthur. But, you know, the thing is, he's not sleeping with her, no matter, or I shouldn't say slightly older than Arthur, she's slightly older than Marilyn. But, you know, they're not having an affair during this time. She's out there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He doesn't,
no,
you know.
That doesn't seem likely.
They're still trying to make their marriage work when she is out there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he claims he just randomly bumped into her on the street. I don't actually believe that story either.
Neither.
I think that they're probably, you know, he probably had reached out to her or she had reached out to him.
Yeah, and they corresponded.
Exactly. But, you know, they weren't sleeping together on the set of The Misfits. And then they did reconnect about, you know, probably about a month after The Misfits ended filming, not too far from Christmas time, actually.
Well, who filed for divorce? Was it Marilyn or was it
Marilyn files for divorce. They get back to, you know, New York in November, and, you know, Marilyn announces that she's going to divorce Arthur, and she, you know, they basically arrive in New York and Marilyn has a press conference with Earl Wilson that day. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say press conference, but she sits down for an interview with Earl Wilson that day to say that she's going to get a divorce from Arthur. And it's announced the next day. you know, so Marilyn's done with the relationship at this point. You know, she walks Arthur out of the house. It's a bunch of, it's a very complicated time, I guess you could say. But, you know, then obviously Clark Gable had his heart attack, you know, like 3 days after filming ended, and then he, you know, passed away like a week later. It's a big thing. None of this is a positive experience.
No, I can't even fathom. And it ends up, yeah. And then she goes to Mexico and gets her divorce from Arthur. He has a letter saying that he agrees to the divorce.
Yep. They get divorced in January of 1961. They get, Marilyn gets divorced the same day that John F. Kennedy is sworn into office. And the idea behind it is everyone will be focusing on Kennedy's, you know, inauguration. They're not going to focus on her. And that's exactly what happens. You know, and then, you know, Marilyn's not really having a good time.
No.
During this time.
Didn't she date Sinatra at this point?
She went out with him a little bit later. But what happens with her is she basically has a breakdown about the divorce. Oh, yeah. She arrives back on the 21st of 1961. She's back in New York. And then she gets admitted to a mental institution known as Payne Whitney Clinic, which is part of Cornell University's, you know, New York State Hospital. Mm-hmm. She gets, you know, thrown in a mental institution. She's not having a good time. Let's just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Marilyn is there for, you know, 5 days. There's a very famous story about how Joe sat there and apparently went in and said, "You need to let my wife out or I'm going to tear this place brick by brick." And then the hospital just magically releases her. That's actually not what happened. He goes down there. He, you know, supposedly says that. And the hospital is like, "Well, you know, you can tear it down if you want, but we're not going to be able to release her to you." So Joe, you know, calmer heads prevail. Joe realizes, hey, they're not going to give her to me. So he goes to Dr. Chris and he says, "You need to, you know, get her out." Mm-hmm. So Dr. Chris does get her out. Joe does not pick her up. It is Ralph Roberts, Marilyn's masseuse, and Dr. Chris, who had, you know, put her in the institution. And Dr. Chris is just bawling the whole way home saying, "What have I done?" While Marilyn, you know, basically rips her a new one about how she shouldn't have thrown her in a mental hospital. But Marilyn does kind of realize, like, hey, I need some help. And so she'll spend basically the next month in Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. Well, it's like 3 weeks. Marlon Brando writes her while she's in there. You know, she's just kind of, you know, going around doing her own thing. And then Marilyn, you know, she gets out. She goes to Arthur Miller's mom's funeral. She goes to a benefit for the Actors Studio, and then she goes to New York and she goes to Florida and she's hanging out with Joe quite a bit. You know, which I'm not going to say that that's the most positive thing that she could have done, but I think she kind of reverted back to old habits, if that makes sense.
Yes. And he was so steady. He was always there at the ready to, you know, on her Christmases, he would show up and bring stuff or have a Christmas tree. So she wouldn't be alone because she really did not have any close female friends. And she didn't really have any true male friends. You know, she really didn't. And I don't know that she could have accepted it either. You know, to have a friend, you must be a friend. And I don't think Marilyn knew how to do that on a daily basis. She could be very generous and kind, yet I don't know that she had that in her to, you know, and that I don't mean that in a mean way because I know people like that. But do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, and Marilyn's friends were also her employees, you know, and Marilyn kept her friends very sequestered from one another. You know, unless they'd already known each other, they really don't intermingle. She keeps all of her friend groups very compartmentalized. It's it's just a very odd experience, I guess you could say. But, you know, you are right. Marilyn does start to see Frank in 1961, but she really starts going with him like late May. I know they spend her birthday, you know, together, and she starts going, you know, with the Rat Pack and everything. She goes to the Sands for Dean Martin's 44th birthday. There's a famous, you know, picture of Marilyn and Elizabeth Taylor sitting at the same table. You know, she goes to Clark Gable's son's christening, which is only 10 days after her birthday. And, you know, she needs to make another movie for Fox. You know, she's realizing that this will be her third movie. And of course, as we know, her contract was for four movies. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, starts negotiating with them at the end of the year. And she, you know, also decides, hey, I think I need to, you know, move back to Los Angeles. So she does. She moves there, you know, towards the end of 61. She actually moves into her old apartment complex.
And Jeannie Carmen was her neighbor, right? Did you ever read her book?
Jeannie Carmen's full of crap.
I agree. I mean, she wrote so much stuff. Jeannie, it's like, geez.
Yeah, no, Jeannie didn't live there. Jeannie claimed Frank Sinatra owned the apartment complex. We do know that Frank Sinatra owned the apartment complex starting in 1963, and that is likely when Jeannie lived there. Mm-hmm. Jeannie was living with her husband, and they lived about 2 miles away from the apartment
complex. So it was all false info that Jeannie gave us.
Yeah. So it's a completely different situation. So then Jeannie wants to make out. So don't believe anything.
A big fat lie, guys. That's what it means. A big fat lie.
Yeah, no, Jeannie Carmen's not living there, but Marilyn's living there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Marilyn's, you know, sitting there and she's like, hey, you know, I think I should go house shopping. And she does. So in January of 1962, Marilyn, you know, buys her house. She buys 12305 Fifth Helena. This is the first house that Marilyn ever owned.
Did you ever see the house?
I have. I've seen the house. It's very cute little house. I've gone, you know, in front of the house, the house's gates, I should say.
Have they renovated it, or is it still pretty much in the same shape as what it was?
It's still the same structurally, but the inside's been completely redone. Yep. Some Marilyn fans have an issue with that. I personally don't.
No.
The house is loved and cared for. Yes. It's, you know, that's what people need to look at. So, you know, she buys the house. You know, she's living her best life, I guess you could say. She, you know, starts filming. Something's Got to Give, you know.
I thought she looked fabulous in the scenes that they released from it. I thought she looked really beautiful.
She does. You know, she had gone to Mexico in February to, you know, pick up some stuff for her house. She's going to have it, you know, filmed like. Or filmed. She's going to have it decorated like, you know, it's in Mexico. She really appreciates the architecture. Mm-hmm. You know, she's hanging out with Frank's cronies, I guess you could say. She's not dating Frank at this point, but they are, you know, still pretty good friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Marilyn does stipulate before she's, you know, had even filmed Something's Got to Give that she needs to be allowed time off to go sing Happy Birthday to the President.
Right.
And of course there has been a very big deal about this. Marilyn, you know, had the agreement with Fox. She performed, you know, on May 19th, 1962 for JFK at his birthday gala in Madison Square, you know, Garden. Isidore Miller, Arthur's dad, you know, was her escort. She performed exactly how she wanted to perform. She wasn't drugged up. She wasn't drunk. We have all of her, you know, I shouldn't say all, but we have a great deal of rehearsal photos. She's doing the exact same movements in the rehearsal photos that she was doing, you know, when she was on stage performing. You know, she's not sleeping with JFK while her father-in-law watches on. I mean, you know, that night's really been elevated into something it's not. And Jackie O was never going to attend. There's a Mandela effect where people go, oh, I saw Jackie in the footage. Jackie wasn't there. Jackie was, you know, someplace else on the East Coast competing in a horse riding event. It's not what people want it to be, but what can you do, I guess? You know, and Fox is pretty mad, you know, that she went off. They're mad about the performance. They're mad she, you know, went off and, you know, wasn't filming. And, you know, her last day on set is actually her birthday, which is, you know, June 1st, 1962. That's her last, you know, day that she's ever on. She goes out, you know, she goes out with a bang, you know. She looks great that day, but of course it doesn't go very well. Fox officially fires her actually the following week on June 8th. They officially remove Marilyn and they say, you know, she's just basically a horrible person and we're not going to work with her. Her actions are horrible. They file a lawsuit for $500,000 against Marilyn. It's just a huge thing.
Only show up 12 days of 34 days of shooting?
You know, it's been claimed that we know that she actually showed up more than what was originally claimed.
But probably really late or didn't come out.
Some of it was late. She was actually pretty good about coming on time. But unfortunately, she did get sick from being in the pool, you know, for like 12 hours.
And naked.
And naked. You know, she got like a sinus infection from that. You know, Lee Siegel, the Fox doctor, even said she was sick, but Fox didn't believe her. So that's why, you know, like she got fired. They actually, you know, had about half of the movie filmed, which for Marilyn was pretty good.
I think. Yeah. And she also, in this film, Sid Charisse played the woman and Dean Martin was her husband. This is a remake of My Favorite Wife, where Marilyn was shipwrecked on a desert island and the husband thought she was dead. And on the day she comes back, he marries, it's Dino, marries Sid Charisse. And she said Sid Charisse's hair is too blonde. And they said, don't worry, we're going to darken it. And they darkened the maid's hair too. It was in her 50s. They just wanted to keep her happy.
Yeah, Marilyn was pretty rude to Sid Charisse. She wanted Pat to get her fired because Pat represented Sid Charisse. Well, Pat's company, the Arthur P. Jacobs company, represented Sid Charisse as well. Marilyn wanted Arthur P. Jacobs to drop Sid. She wanted Sid fired from the movie. She thought Sid was lightening her hair. You know, she wasn't very kind towards Sid. And, you know, she just wasn't a very nice person when it came to Sid Charisse. But, you know, it's tying back to that paranoia we talked about earlier.
She's 36 years old, which is not old. But in those days, you know, you're like Grandma Walton at 36.
Yeah, no, it's not a positive experience. Mm-hmm. You know, and so during that summer, you know, she really works again. You know, Fox says, hey, you know, she's a pill addict. And Marilyn's like, hey, you know, no, I'm not. So, you know, she's working, you know, really hard to get, you know, all of this stuff done with Fox. You know, she wants to be working again. She poses for George Barris. She goes with, you know, Bert Stern. You know, she's getting interviewed left and right. She's really trying to, you know, save her reputation, and it's coming to mixed results. I mean, the press is they're not positive towards her. And, you know, a lot of like the old fan magazines have been positive for a while, like, you know, the more scroungy ones like Hush Hush or Confidential. But, you know, a lot of her stuff really isn't being met with, you know, the response she thought it was going to have. And of course, everyone changes their tune after she died. But, you know, her campaign isn't as great as people think it was. You know, there's a lot of hate directed towards her while she's doing all of this.
That's terrible.
You know, people just think, hey, you know, she should behave on set. You know, so Marilyn on July 28th, she goes out to the Calneva Lodge, and we know that she came back the next day on the 29th. There's a lot of stories about this, you know, experience. It's pretty likely that it wasn't as, you know, horrible for her as people have claimed. You know, there's things about, like, horrible pictures and in bed with the president. There's a bunch of rumors about that. That's pretty unlikely because she kept her appointment with Dr. Greenson until the following day after she got back. Mm-hmm. And it, whenever she had a crisis, she would call her, you know, psychiatrist, Dr. Greenson, to come over. And she didn't. So it's pretty unlikely that anything horrible happened. But we do know that she, you know, most likely got super, super drunk, kind of made a fool out of herself, and she went home the next day.
Okay. I think we should end here.
Okay.
Because we went through a lot. I do want to get into my feelings about the Kennedys and all that other stuff. And I think we should get into that because those are humongous, you know, parts of her life and rumor. And so we can talk about her last days, the rumors about the Kennedys, what went on, her death, all that other stuff. And that's going to be our part three. I think this is a perfect place to end it.
Perfect. I'm good with that.
All righty. So everybody, this is part two. Part three, we're just going to be pretty much dealing with Marilyn's last day or two and her death and what in the world happened. And will we ever really know? So I want to thank my dear pal now, Miss April VVA, for being on the show and having, I just had a wonderful summer with you. And I want to thank you guys for listening. I so appreciate it. We both do. So happy Labor Day. Yes, it's the end of summer. And thanks, everybody. Next week. Bye.
Nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone. Boop, boop, be doo. I wanna be kissed by you, just you. Nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you alone. I couldn't aspire to anything higher than to feel the desire to make you my own. I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you.